This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, a very good morning to you. What a week in Israel it has been.
Wowie, Zowie, I think it has felt like a month and we could all do with a good rest this Shabbat.
Well, that's what it's designed for, so that's really great. But let's just talk about this. The Israel, of course, went to the polls this week. An incredibly high voter turnout that I don't think was anticipated, and certainly a result that wasn't anticipated. How does it look? Give us an overview.
Okay, so first of all, I want to make something very clear that the analysis now is not based on personal views. It is an analysis of what we are looking at, given the results. It's looking at the responses, and it's looking at some very, very real concerns that not just Israelis have, but many around the world have. And I know it because I've received the messages and the memes and the jokes and the everything, that while some people are gloating over the election results, there are some very, very real concerns. So let's look at the results, because we have seen the current leader of the opposition, Benjamin Netanyahu, clearly win this election. That is a one issue to put aside. But the very, very real issue that people are mostly concerned about is this incredible rise of the far right, Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich's national religious party that has doubled its presence in the Knesset, and what this could mean. Now, we do have to adopt a wait-and-see approach. You know, say what you want about Benjamin Netanyahu. He is the consummate politician, and he's not a stupid man. He knows very, very well the ramifications for Israel internally and externally if he gives in too much to the demands of the national religious, which is a very, very real concern. So let's take a look at that, because we have seen a lot of response around the world to that. Now, at the outset of the poise of his election victory, Netanyahu was very, very quick out the block to say he wants a government of national unity, and that is going to be key moving forward, how he puts together this coalition, because this is going to be the big task coming up in the next couple of weeks. We are expecting the president to meet with Netanyahu as well as other party heads to talk about forming a coalition. But the issue right now is what to do about the national religious. Already they have said they want to walk back things like gay pride, which many Israelis, whether you agree with it or not, see as a civil right of our fellow citizens.
But really, can I just stop you there? I was having this conversation with somebody in Tel Aviv last night, and he raised this as a concern. And my immediate thought was, my reaction was, I don't believe they will do that, because I think it'll make Israel ungovernable internally. Tel Aviv is not going to stop its gay pride. It's going to happen whether the government has decided it's legal or not. So what's going to happen if that is the case is that you will pretty much make cities like Tel Aviv and wherever else ungovernable in many respects, surely.
Well, this is the issue. This is the issue. You know, they've come in on a platform saying, and I can understand why there has been this uptick in votes for them, because every single day we have news of either a terror attack, an attempted terror attack, rocks being thrown at motorists, and people have had enough of that. And they've come up on a platform that, you know, they're going to, and they very much want, A, the Defense Ministry and the Public Security Ministry, because they want to reinstall what they call law and order. But if they trample on the civil rights of minority communities, they are only going to exacerbate the problem that already exists. You know, Ben-Gvir and Smotrich really rose to prominence following the internal strife that really, really worried Israelis last year, when we had this conflict with Gaza, when we had gangs of extreme Jews and extreme Arabs basically attacking each other. And I know that some have come to the end of their tether and are looking for a very, very strong solution to curb the ongoing terror attacks and the uptick in violence that we've seen. But at what cost will this come? We've heard from a representative from Otzma, that's the National Religious, last night, saying, you know, they're not going to hammer at members of the Arab communities or the LGBTQ communities. You know, just that kind of language is already inflammatory. And we've heard countries express their concerns. Australia, the United Kingdom, the United States already expressing their concerns, the United Arab Emirates. What will happen if too much leeway is given to them? And I don't know how Netanyahu's going to balance it, because they're the third biggest party in his cabinet.
Well, you're right.
He's going to need for a coalition. And the Americans, unprecedented, saying that they won't engage with Itamar Ben-Gvir.
So let me just understand something. The Netanyahu, as you've started off the report saying, is a very seasoned politician. He understands the international market, the international community, probably better than most. He understands many of the aspects, and whether a fan of his or not, he certainly isn't a frightening choice. He understands what he needs to balance, but how much power does he have in terms of this coalition, should he not agree with something that one of these other parties want?
Well, this is the concern now, because as we know, it's not about who wins the election, it's about who is able to form a coalition, who's able to form a government, and you know, there is the concern that if he does not give in enough to the demands of, you know, certain factions that will come into his coalition, will he be able to form a coalition? Who would it go to next? Would they be able to form a coalition? Or, you know, will we go to another vote? Has the deadlock, in fact, been broken? Some say it has, from some sectors of society say it has, but I think they are banking on Netanyahu giving in to, you know, the more right-wing parties, because he knows he needs them to form his coalition. So I think he walks a very, very delicate line. He has said he wants to be a prime minister that will bring in and unite all the divisions within society. Well, he's going to have to prove that. And he's going to have to prove that by addressing the biggest concern, is what does he do with the third biggest party in his coalition.
So in South Africa, we have the Constitutional Court, because we've got a constitutional constitution, and government needs to be held account to that. If something is unconstitutional, the legal system, the judiciary, is there to keep government in check. And in fact, it saved the lives, it saved the country, the Constitutional Court. There's little doubt in my mind about that. What mechanisms are there in Israel should a government like this, which is a fairly powerful one, enact laws that are seemingly or could be perceived as being problematic?
That is a superb question. That is really, this question is the crux of the matter, because Netanyahu has come under immense criticism in past administrations for trying to usurp the power of the Supreme Court, for trying to combine the power of the Supreme Court with the government. And it's essential to Israel's democracy that the two remain separate. One of the key ministries that the national religious also want is the judiciary ministry. They want to make reforms to the judicial system. Now, Israel doesn't have a constitution, so the Supreme Court and the role of the judiciary is sacrosanct here. Israelis are concerned that this party, which has become extremely powerful, that's doubled in size, want key ministries. They want the defense ministry, they want the public security ministry, and they want the justice ministry. These are crucial, crucial ministries, and it is absolutely important that the Supreme Court be able to act independently, because that does keep the government in check, and we need that. And our Supreme Court enjoys a reputation as probably one of the most ethical and moral in the world, and we want to keep it that way.
And so, and how difficult is it for them to interfere with that process?
Well, this is going to be the big question moving ahead. What happens to the ministry? This is one of the issues that where we saw Netanyahu's, you know, fall from grace in previous administrations, because he kept on trying, and his administration kept on trying to interfere in the rulings of the Supreme Court. And this, we cannot have it. We have seen other parties try to enact legislation that would prevent a prime minister that has legal issues pending parties from gaining too much power and interfering with the rulings of the court.
What is interesting is, to me, this has been a very pivotal week, in the sense that people like yourself and many other Israeli commentators, reporters, those engaged with news coming out of Israel, with Israel advocacy, making sure that the correct story is being told. We don't often hear a voice of concern. And as I say, it's not just you. It's Avi Meir. It's people across the board that are involved in Israel advocacy, for the very first time that I can really recall, being quite nervous, qualifying their nervousness and making it very clear that concern or criticism on the political side doesn't mean Israel bashing by any means, but this is the first time that I've noticed it to such an extent. Would you agree with that observation?
I would definitely agree, and I do have to say that Israel is bigger than all of us. And you know, our love for Israel shouldn't be determined on who is the government at the time. But I think, and some of you may not like what I have to say, I think that if we really consider ourselves Zionists, if we really want the best Israel that we can have, we need to do some serious soul searching at the moment. And do we want a significant block in our government that to so many is far right, is racist, is homophobic, and to a certain extent is misogynist? Do we want Israel to be represented like this? It's a very, very real question that Israelis and Israeli commentators, myself, Avi, and many, Professor Gil Troy, many of us who really on the front lines of defending Israel every single day. And I don't think there's anything wrong with asking the question of what kind of Israel do we want, and just how far are some willing to take it?
It's very, very interesting. Yair asking, have you looked at the history of the bills introduced and supported by Ben-Gvir in his previous work as an MK? I certainly haven't. I don't know, Rolene, if you can answer that question.
I haven't in detail. There have been some that have really, really raised the ire. One of them is he wants the annexation of the West Bank. And this is something that we anticipate the party pushing for. And that's something that is not going to fly. Neither is dealing with the Temple Mount. We have to be, and these are the words of our president, Herzog. Every single day he deals with hundreds of queries and questions about the Temple Mount. And he says one wrong move could spark World War III. Whatever decisions happen on the Temple Mount govern the emotions of over a billion Muslims. Israel is not as simple and as easy as people think it is. There are a lot of very, very delicate areas, and the concern is a party that's going to push for a trampling into certain areas which could be problematic, not just for Israel, but could have ramifications around the world.
Yeah, it says he hasn't introduced a bill regarding Temple Mount. I don't think you suggested he did. That wasn't...
I didn't say suggested he did. I said that's one of the issues that they're pushing.
All right, and that's where we leave it. These are very important conversations, and ones that I believe we need to have. My only consolation is, or my thoughts around this, is that it's very, very different being on the sidelines of politics as it is to being in government, where all of a sudden, when you're making a decision or when you're pushing an agenda, you need to look at the very real impact that these things can have. And somehow, that tends to grow people up fairly quickly and make them a lot more responsible. So let's hope that is the case. It is 8 a.m. Fascinating conversation. Rolien Marks, thank you for your reporting and for your forthright and openness with regard to this conversation.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.